Everyone. For those who don't know me, my name is Kunle, and I've been, thank you, and I've been a member of Emmanuel Church for the last 4 years. First of all, I would like to thank the elders for giving me the opportunity to share the word of God this morning. And I pray that the Lord will bless everyone. It's not just my word. I believe that even through the praise and worship, now there is confirmation that God is going to do something great this morning. So just open yourself. And I just pray, Lord, that the entrance of God's word this morning will give life and give understanding to the simple. I pray, oh God, that the Holy Spirit will minister in a unique way in Jesus' name. In the past few months, we've actually been journeying into the book of John. And for those who've been around, we've listened to various sermons. And the Gospel of John was written with the purpose of emphasizing the person of Jesus as the Son of God, and how we as believers should behave or should live our life in the course of his teaching. And understanding that identity of Jesus Christ is key to us living a victorious life as Christians. And interestingly, if we look in the book of John, the verse first, if you understand that, that will actually explain a lot of things. Okay, I believe I can use this to control now. Because in the book of John, in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. This is powerful. Yeah. And as Christians, we should be comforted looking at this. That if you go back to the Genesis, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, when God created heaven and earth and created all those things, Jesus was there. Yeah. And if Jesus was there, he was part of creation. No wonder Jesus could call those things which are not as though they are, and they come into being. Because when you look in creation, God just said, let there be. And when you look in the book of John, even in Canaan, when Jesus turned water to wine, nothing fanciful. He's able to call wine which is not the water to turn into wine, and it happened. And in a lot of ways, a lot of things that are happening today as Christians, if we only know the identity of Jesus Christ and what we have in him, we'll be able to live a victorious life. I think 2 weeks ago, John preached from the book of John chapter 19 about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And last week, Sally talked about the resurrection, and she actually talked about Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene and so on. So we are going to take the story from there. But what I want to say is, just know that this same Jesus is still alive today and is in the process of doing things that has been done before, because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if only we will anchor our faith in him, he's going to be able to solve whatever problem we have. I'm glad that this song today just prepared this sermon. I didn't know they're talking about storm. Because no matter who we are, how we are, is as long as we're in this world, we are going to face storm. Yeah. It just depends on the category. And if we anchor our faith, it's just like the pillar in the building. Depending on whether it's anchor, is a stone or a sand, that determines whether it crumbles when things come. So I hope today we'll open ourselves. So the text for today, what we're going to look at is a story in the Bible. It looks quite familiar, but it's not probably the same as the one you are familiar with. Because this account is recorded in the book of John, chapter 21, verse 1 to 14. And it's called the miraculous catch of fish. If you recall, in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 1, 5 to 11, when Jesus was starting his ministry and he was calling the disciples, there was an account of catch of fish, and which led to Peter being called to go and fishes of men. So it's like similar account, but let's just go in and read it. So please be awake. Don't sleep on me, please. So, afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we will go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciple followed in the boat, towing the full net of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So, like I said before, this particular account is after resurrection. There was another account 3 years prior during the ministry of Jesus Christ, early in the ministry, when this same thing happened. The story looked simple. These are fishermen before they were called into ministry. While waiting for Jesus, they decided to go and fish. But all night, they tried. And it's quite significant because at night, for people who are good with fishing, you know that that's the best time because of temperature of the water, the fish will come up to the shallow part. So they should cut fish, their thing. But they caught nothing. I believe that even though this was an eyewitness account by John, this is saying something to us as a believer in today's world. And I've tried to look at this from few perspectives. The first thing is divine providence and human limitation. Jesus Christ is all-knowing, yeah, and is very interested in every aspect of our lives, no matter how small it is. Yeah. The fact that he asked them if they've caught fish doesn't mean he doesn't know. He asked so that they can affirm their limitation. Because without you admitting that, oh, I don't know, I can't do it, you are not opening yourself to Jesus to help you. So by going there, by admitting, no, we don't, they said, please come and help us. So as Christian or as believers, we need to adopt that approach of surrendering to God. What this also tells us is we might be skillful in whatever we do. The fishermen, they were skillful, yet they experienced failure. Which means that no matter how good we are, it's written in the Bible too that our knowledge is in part. Only God or Jesus has the knowledge in full. And in a lot of ways, we have to humble ourselves to say we don't know it all, even for in profession which we are expert. So what this means is, if we allow Jesus to step in, that will help our effort in whatever we do, because by listening to Jesus, he's going to direct us. So the key thing is, always and at all time, we should lean on Jesus. No matter what decision, whether it's small or big, because in the book of Proverbs 3:5-6, we all know, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all, not in some, in all your ways, submit to him and will make your path straight. Yeah. So what this means is, let's cultivate the habit of going to God at all time, in all situation, and God will help us. However, I don't want to stop there, because often at times people preach as Christian, oh, once you are saved, everything will be roses and so on and so forth. But that's not the case. I'm not preaching prosperity gospel. What I'm saying is, following Jesus does not exempt us from challenges. It doesn't mean they've done something wrong. And at times when things are not going on with us, it doesn't mean we've sinned. But God is God. At times, it doesn't say life will be easy. It said we will go through troubles at times. So the only thing is, when we go through storm, if we are with Christ, if our pillar is with Christ, our foundation is based on Christ, we have all it takes to survive the storm.
Yeah.
So as Christian, I can put mathematical equation to define this, but I don't want to do that today. You are either in a storm or coming out of a storm, or you are heading to a storm. You have to choose one. So, and again, when you have your foundation that is anchored on Jesus Christ, you don't need to worry too much, because he's going to be there with you. He will not give you something that you cannot deal with. In fact, in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 13, he said, I've told you these things, all these things, so that in me you have peace. In this world, you have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Yeah. So what a good thing to know, that no matter what, we know the end thereof. No matter what you are going through now, you are in a process or in a snapshot of time. When you move on at some point, that will change. And only if we don't derail from what God is telling us. We need to stay on, persevere. So when we have Jesus, we have the foundation that is built with the storm of life in mind. And no matter what, it's going to be okay. In fact, I will just read a part of the book of Habakkuk, which summarizes this as Christian. If we live our life like this, even when the storm comes, because we know what the outcome is going to be, we won't be worried too much. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the field produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord.
Yeah.
I will be joyful in the God, my salvation, my Savior.
Yeah.
The suffering Lord is my strength. He will make my feet the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the eye. So when we know this, that no matter what is going, because what is described in the first part are things which are not so good, things which are negative, but with Jesus we know that everything will be all right. Now, I feel that it's appropriate for me to actually share a storm which I've just, I was in a storm, but I'm out of the storm now. There will be other storm, but I know that Jesus is with me because Jesus saw me through that storm.
Yeah.
People will probably know my story. Because I made it to the national newspapers and so on and so forth for the wrong reason. But here is a snapshot of my storm. We moved to Durham in 2020, my family, when I was appointed head of a college and a professor in the university. And prior to that, we were in Singapore for 20 years. And God has been good in terms of prospering us in my career and so on, at the top of my career. We moved to Durham. COVID came, but everyone is affected by COVID. But as a leader of a college, the people I was supposed to lead did not accept me as their leader. And it was a big problem in the sense that everything was done to frustrate me, to make sure I quit. People lie, people do all sorts of things. But what I know is God allowed us to come to Durham. The circumstance of our coming, it was God making, and we can testify. And when that was happening, before leaving Singapore, I didn't even know that I would face this sort of problem. I resigned my job, and the people I was working with say, we don't accept your resignation. Keep it. Come in 2 years' time, decide whether you are going to stay or not. So when this happened, the first thing would be to just go back. To say, okay, I've had enough, and so on. I could have gone, because it was serious then, but I knew that God was with us, and at the end of the day, no matter what happened, because we knew God wanted us to be here, we are going to be here. So everything was done, but Also, people can ask, or I have other option to fight, either to go to legal. There were people, top lawyers, lining up to say, if you just say the word, we're going to do something. But I look at it, what will be my testimony? At the end of the day, if you are fighting based on your physical battle, the outcome is not guaranteed. But if with God, I know for sure, no matter what, God will lead us to the right destination. I can testify, God, through the process, myself and my wife, we fasted, we pray, and some of our MCOM, plug in for MCOM, please join one of the community. They pray with us, and God showed up. I tell you, in what was meant to destabilize, God used it to build me up. In the process, I experienced the peace of God, which passes all understanding. It's one thing to read it, but when you are in the storm and you experience it, you know that God is with you. And because I knew God was with us, we weathered the storm. And thank God today, the storm is over. And God is taking all the glory, because my college now, in fact, a few weeks ago, we were awarded a global college award. And a lot of colleges are coming in to ask us what we do, how we do things. So I just want to give glory to God. And I say that even when I was worried that how would this affect my faith, because when people read bad things, they take things out of context. The experience I had, God used it to minister to people. Senior leaders are asking me, how did you survive it? We know you go to this church. What did you? And I just used that to share the gospel. Even for our students, we are not so, I can't share freely. But if they ask me a question, if a student asks me, all of them ask me question on live broadcast, I just share my faith. I said, praise you, Jesus. So what I want to tell you is, no matter what you are going through, some people are going through, it might be sickness, it might be job, it might be finance, you might not have the answer, because when I was going through my storm, I didn't know what the answer would be. We could have lost the job, there could have been something, but I know that even if I lose that, God who has helped me for almost 30 years in my career is able to. It's not about my own ability, but by the grace of God. So hang in there, and at the end, we are going to pray. God is going to show up in whatever situation you find yourself. If you are not in the storm, you pray for somebody within the storm. So we are all going to be busy today. Thank God. Yeah. The other thing I want to also say is, from this passage, obedience to Jesus' command is very, very important. Because when you look at it, the disciples, they didn't know it was Jesus talking to them, but they obeyed. John didn't give explanation as to why they obeyed, although you can speculate that probably they experienced 3 years ago. They know that you're off to list. But it takes humility for somebody to tell you, you are an expert in something, I've been fishing all night, nothing, and then throw it there. Who are you to tell me this? That's why some of us would take. But what point is obedient to the voice of God. So at times we might not know. Some people can hear directly. Some people can hear through the word of God. Any way you hear, plug into the channel of God. Make sure you are receiving from him and you will not go wrong. Yeah. So please, obedience is very, very important. He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Okay, I'm still in it. Yeah. So the third point, because I want to give time for ministry and so on, we just have to deal, have dealing with God today, wherever you find yourself. The other part of the story, which is quite important, is if you look at John 21:7, he said, then the disciple whom Jesus loved, referring to John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter hear him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped in. The context to this is, during crucifixion, when Jesus was being tried, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. In today's world, probably somebody would not want to even see Jesus then. I've done this. I feel condemned already. But on hearing Jesus, he jumped in to engage with Jesus, because he knows that there is no sin that is too big that God cannot forgive if we are willing to repent and to accept Christ in whatever we do. So Peter impulsive symbolized an eagerness to seek reconciliation with Jesus, despite his denying him 3 times. What is the grace of God demand that we all accept forgiveness wholeheartedly and without reservation. Because nothing we can do can make him love us more. or nothing we have done will make him love us less. So he loves us unconditionally, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, all we need to do is believe. So I'm just encouraging us. I know maybe some people, if you've not accepted Jesus in your life before, there's an opportunity. But there are some, maybe you've gone astray, we've done something, come back to Jesus. It's, no matter how big it is, what is Christ is looking for is obedient and willing heart to receive from God. So please make business with God, even as the ministry team will come up shortly. So if I can just summarize what I've been saying. Jesus loves you unconditionally, and at the end is interested in every aspect of your life, no matter how small it is. Just engage with Jesus. And at the end, we also need to know that the problem we are going through now is for a season. No matter what the problem is, if we stay along in that problem with Jesus, we will have testimony at the end. If we quit along the way, it's going to be different. So hang in there, be it sickness, Jesus is able to heal. In fact, what is so interesting is, like I said in the earlier part, is it doesn't need to. Jesus sent the word from a distance. At that instant, that thing happened. This same Jesus is still here today. So just open yourself. Only believe, all things are possible. You need to do your part to believe that God can do it. And you need to believe because he has done it before. And he can still do it again. He's still doing it. And he's done it for people. I mean, Amanda testified many months ago, a wonderful testimony. And at the end of the day, God is still in the business of doing the miraculous. So I would like to invite the band to please come up. And we are going to just do business with God this morning. And I believe that God will move mightily. And for my brothers and my sisters in this auditorium, Father, you know the situation they are in, whether they are in the storm, coming out of the storm, or heading to the storm. May you be their anchor in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, those who are sick in their body, by your stripe we are healed. I pray that the healing virtue of the Lord will flow in Jesus' name. And I pray that people will testify of your goodness in the name of Jesus. Father, we just want to thank you for what you are doing right now and what you will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.